Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. It's in the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you have the Acts of the church, and then a book to the Romans. As I said, next week I'm going to be picking up an 8-week series about grow. I encourage you, these messages you do not want to miss. I really want to see us get everybody back, schools back in. Please do not miss these messages. Be here. Make every opportunity that you can do to be here as we walk through this series. I believe it's not just a series about the Word, but it's about who we are as a church and what we're going to do. It has an evaluation part as we get into it, because I'm evaluating church, what we do as a church. That's why I'm evaluating our picnic. I'm asking, it's not that I don't mind things of tradition, but I want to know our purpose. And so I'm putting together this very thoughtful, precise concept upon concept, precept upon precept, so that we can grow, I believe, as God wants us to. But part of that is evaluating your own life. There's going to be four areas we're going to talk about. And I'm going to have you evaluate your life, because if you're missing any one of those four, then you're not growing. And you need to grow. Amen? Amen. So we'll be picking that up next week. Romans chapter 15, starting at verse 7. It reads, "Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name." Again, it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him." Verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This morning I want to speak and talk to you about a life of hope. Heavenly Father, I first of all thank you for saving us. Thank you for redeeming us. This morning, I thank you that you have given us hope. Now, Lord, teach us to walk and live in that hope, and to do so with joy and with peace as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, and everyone in agreement said, amen. 1 Corinthians 13:13 is a scripture that you may not know by its reference, but you'll know it when you hear it. It reads, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." It's a great passage, and the church has used it as a guide for how we live and how we act. And it's interesting to me that we tend to hear a lot of messages about faith, and we hear a lot of messages about love, but we don't seem to hear a lot about hope. And I want to focus our time this morning on hope. As we enter the fall season, I know the students are entering school and the parents are sending them there, and they're hoping that school will go well this year, right? Those going into college, you hope it's going to go well, right? We hope we got enough rest this summer because summer's about over. How many hope you got enough rest in? How many know they did not get enough rest in? Oh, well. I hope it will happen next year. It's amazing, the stores are already hoping that the sales are going to go well during Thanksgiving, especially Black Friday, right? And Christmas, that the sales will go well. They're hoping that you're going to have enough money this holiday season. You're hoping you're going to have enough money this holiday season. Go ahead, think about Christmas because your kids are. They're hoping they're going to get something on Christmas morning. So start thinking about it. On a little heavier tone this morning, last Monday, I received a phone call from my mom late in the evening, and it led our family to begin to hope. We found out that my sister-in-law, her dad, came up missing. For those who know my family, that would be my oldest brother, Glenn. It's his wife, Marilyn. On Monday, her 81-year-old father did not come home as he normally would. Of course, we began to hope and pray that everything was fine and everything would turn out okay. On Tuesday, we heard nothing. And then Wednesday, late at night, he was found dead in an abandoned apartment. He had been shot in the head. Church, this was not Detroit or New York or Los Angeles. This was Jackson, Mississippi. We live in a world that is desperately in need of hope. I'm talking about real hope. My sister-in-law's father knew the Lord as his Savior. His hope was in the Lord. And now he's living out that eternal hope in heaven. For now, of course, I will continue to pray for peace and for comfort for the family, because they were a part of my life. You see, the man who died, it was his wife that taught me my very first piano lessons. I went to church with them when I was young. And I want to ask you to help remember them also, to strengthen them during these days. Yesterday was the funeral, but I just want to pause and pray for them. Heavenly Father, for the Kendrick family, and our family who's affected by this, I just pray for your comfort, for the God of all comfort. And Lord, where grief is, I pray that your love will saturate that grief and pour over the family and give us hope. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that was a heavy tone. On a lighter tone this morning, our family is also hoping for something to happen this weekend, that our granddaughter will be born. She is due tomorrow on Labor Day. It's amazing, though, in me and our life, and I share that with you because we go from highs and lows. This week we went from grief, and yet we have this same hope of excitement, hoping everything would be fine, and the hope of heaven to the hope of a baby being born. And we are excited. But this morning I want to talk about our life of hope in Christ. Our hope in Christ, you need to understand, is not merely wishful thinking without some foundation. For our hope is a sure expectation that actually takes hold of us and changes our future destination. That's why we have hope in Jesus, and that Jesus Christ and this hope would actually possess us. You see, biblical hope is a confident expectation based on solid certainty because it rests on God's sure promises. In the New Testament, the Christian's faith, our great hope, is directly related to the return of Jesus Christ. Our hope is a companion of our faith. They're very closely linked together. In fact, hope is never inferior to faith. It is the groundwork of faith. Listen to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith starts on the foundation of what we hope for. Today, I want to focus on the last two verses we read in Romans 15, verse 12 and 13. Let me read them again to you. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, he's speaking of Jesus, in him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice at the end of verse 12, Paul quotes from the prophet Isaiah, and he says, in him the Gentiles will hope. I am glad as a Gentile that I get to be a partaker in the hope of Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven. Amen? Aren't you glad? In him the Gentiles will hope. Isaiah was writing of Jesus, the root of Jesse. The first thing we must note, though, about our Christian hope is that it always looks to Jesus as its focus. Always. Our hope has to look to Jesus. Whether we're praying, whether we're fasting, whether we're proclaiming, our hope looks to Jesus and also looks to Jesus for eternity. Proverbs 23:17-18 teaches this, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Verse 18, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Our ultimate hope is an eternity with the Lord. Church, we believe in the resurrection of the dead and that Jesus is coming again. The Christian hope is not in this world, you understand. Our hope comes from God's promises. Colossians 1, verse 4, for we have heard of your faith, we've heard that word, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your what? Confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. Can I help you understand just for a moment? We don't go and proclaim good news just to save people from their sins. It's to get them to heaven. I'm thankful that our sins are forgiven. But this truth has an expectation that is beyond a worldly move in our life. It is for an eternal purpose. That's exciting to me. Church, we live out our faith in Christ Jesus by loving the people that God has put around us, but we do so with the hope of heaven. I don't want anyone I know to not hear the good news that Jesus saves. It is my responsibility to share that hope with them. And that's why our hope not only looks to Jesus for eternity, but our hope has to look to Jesus for this life while I'm here. Not only do I have the one who will walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death, but I have the one who will walk beside me every step of the way in this life. My hope is not in mankind and what they can do for me. My hope is fixed on Jesus. He is the source of my life. The hymn writer Edward Mote published these words in 1837. My hope is built on nothing less. My hope, My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Oh Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And he repeats it. All other ground is sinking sand. What is my hope for my lifetime? It's Jesus Christ. What is my hope for my family, my wife, my children? It is Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Amen? Can you declare it with me this morning? Kind of as I've lost the name. I'll grab it in a moment. Joshua. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you make this declaration of this song that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking. One more time. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God who causes me to triumph. Why? Because of hope. Our hope looks to Jesus. You are stirred this morning. Yes, maybe because of my voice and the exuberance, but I'm telling you, there is a hope that is within us, and it stirs us, church. Our hope looks to Jesus, whether we are Jew or Gentile. Our hope is in Jesus, the Savior of the world. Notice the first phrase of verse 13. May the God of hope. May the God of hope. It tells us several things about God. His nature is hopeful. Did you know we have a hopeful God? To gain understanding, look at Romans 8:20. For the creation, he says, was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. In other words, because of sin, this whole world became subject to the process of deterioration. God could have destroyed it, wiped it out, the entire creation, and started all over. But he didn't. Because he had a plan to save mankind. We have a God of hope. When all others would have seen this and seen no other option but to destroy the world because of sin, the God of all hope saw another way. The God of all hope longs to pour hope into our lives and give us all the hope we need. Somehow, if you've lost sight of the hope this morning, you can go to God. You can ask him to restore the joy of your salvation, and he will fill you with great hope today as you call upon his name. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone, maybe earlier they weren't quite ready, but Lord, they're looking for hope. They're looking for something. I pray as they call upon your name, you would save them this very instant because you have come to give us hope for eternity. Let them believe in Jesus, the hope of the world. Amen. Church, you have to understand that God instigated the great hope. It wasn't just a hope, it was the hope. T. take note of the original Greek. In the original Greek, the word hope has an article before it. It literally reads this way, Young's literal translation, it would read this way, and the God of the hope. The God of the hope shall fill you with all joy and peace in the believing. For you're abounding in the hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about a hope, we're talking about the hope. God is the one who has sent Jesus to bring salvation's plan, which is the hope. God drew up this blueprint before the foundations of the world was laid. He instigated the only hope for the world. And he did it for a purpose of saving mankind for eternity. And I look forward to that. But how do I live on this earth until that day? Look at verse 13 again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Because of our hope, we have an absolute certainty that we can be full of joy and peace. How do I get through last week when I hear of my sister-in-law's father being murdered? Because I have a hope. He had a hope. I don't want anyone to die without that hope. Paul puts it this way, though, for us in Romans 12, 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Rejoice in the hope you have. Church, the church can look really sad. You ever noticed? You ever walked into a church that's sad? I'm glad that maybe we're not. But it's important to rejoice in your hope. Every time you walk in here, you go, wow, God, you saved them. You're really cool if you can do that. Why? Because the hope is for whosoever. And church, we are to walk in and be the most joyful people. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I don't want to overemphasize one over the other, peace and joy. Church, we ought to walk that way, but we also ought to walk in righteousness. And for those who live for Christ and in Christ, I believe that righteousness, peace, and joy characterize their lives as Christians. Because we're righteous, we're peaceful, and we're joyful. Peter speaks of it this way in 1 Peter 1:8. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Amen? And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. We used to sing a hymn. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Church, you hadn't even begun to experience who God is. You think, oh, He saved me, He redeemed me. Let me tell you, He's the God who created everything, and He knows how many hairs are on your head. Do you have any idea? The half hasn't even been told. It's joy. And church, we've got to begin to walk in this joy and this peace because we have the hope. Church, our living hope should keep us constantly in joy and peace. But that's not all. Romans 15, 13 again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope. The word overflow here in translations is translated abound or abounding. It's a Greek word and it is parasuo, meaning to superabound, to have in excess, to excel more than, to be abundantly furnished with. God wants us to parasuo, to superabound in the hope. God wants this hope that we have to be filling us up, to overflowing, so that it pours out of our lives and affects others. You know, the early church demonstrated this abundant hope. They did it in this manner. Whenever they would greet one another, they would greet each other saying, "Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Maranatha, Maranatha." They lived with expectation. They lived in hope of Jesus' return. How many of you got up this morning and said, "Maranatha"? I doubt any of us did. I did because I knew the message. Jesus is coming. That's the way we should live. Church, we need to abound and overflow in our hope. Understand this, the world's condition should not dictate our conviction to live full of hope. There's enough junk going on in the world, but it does not change the hope that is in me. If you're a believer this morning, you ought to walk with a spring in your step and a gush out of your spirit. You're overflowing with hope. One last phrase this morning: by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive this hope, we live and walk in this hope, and we keep this hope alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word for power here is dunamis. You probably have heard this before. From dunamis, we get our English words dynamic or dynamite. This word speaks of dynamic energy. Our hope is created and released in our lives by the dynamic energy of the Holy Spirit who is at work in us. It is the Holy Spirit who is your divine partner every day of your life. It is the Spirit of God who energizes you with the hope. Galatians 5:5, Paul writes, "For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." The Spirit of God has an eagerness within us that stirs us, and Spirit-filled Christians ought to be the most hope-filled people in the world. The church, we ought to be characterized by the hope that is within us, that power that energizes us to live every day, because we have the hope. We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope that the power of the cross still saves sinners today. The hope that Jesus will deliver and set free those held in captivity. The hope that fills the Christian with joy and peace. The hope of Jesus' imminent return. The hope. Church, we need to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you 5 points to end with. I should be done in another hour. They're very brief. They're to the point. The plan of this hope, the provision of this hope, the poise of this hope, the purpose of this hope, the power of this hope. Number one, the plan of this hope: in Him the Gentiles will hope. Our hope looks to Jesus, and He is our constant focus, because He came to save everyone, whosoever would put their faith in Him as their Savior. The plan is for you, for your brothers and sisters, for your mom and dad, for your grandparents, for your neighbors, for your coworkers, for the students you sit next to. It's His plan, the hope, the plan. Secondly, the provision of this hope, may the God of hope. God Almighty is the only source of this hope. And He sent His one and only Son, who is the hope of the world. And He's given that hope to whoever would believe. The provision has been made. The poise of this hope, to fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. This hope in Christ gives us the character, the poise that we need to walk and live each day. He gives us joy and peace in the midst of strife and stress. He is there. He is my very present help in time of trouble. And therefore, I have the joy of the Lord. Not necessarily my own joy that I work up. I have His joy. And while I'm walking on this earth, I have a poise that I walk in that I want others to see and notice, is that there's some hope still there. Fourth, the purpose of this hope is so that you may overflow with hope. God wants us to super abound and overflow with the hope that He's put in us. I've said it before, I use the illustration. Wouldn't it really be cool to just walk around and hope just pour out of you? I mean, love, faith. Just because every step you're so full, you're overflowing. I know y'all like the sound effects, don't you? But church, that's the way we ought to be. If there is real hope, then it ought to gush out of us. It ought to be overflowing within us. Why? Because we need to tell people about the hope of the world. Number five, the power of this hope. By the power of the Holy Spirit. We walk this hope out by the Spirit's empowering us. And He does it in our daily walk. The Holy Spirit empowers us and leads us to be proclaimers of the hope, the proclaimers of Jesus Christ. Do you know why the Holy Spirit was given? To witness of Jesus. That's what it was about. But we do it in His timing and in His way. Amen. Can you go back and find it for me, Romans 15:13. I want to close this morning this way. I'm going to offer, if you have needs and prayer this morning, we're going to close by just being here and we'll pray with you. But I want to pray this scripture over you. I don't know if you know how to pray scripture or you just read scripture, but praying scripture is powerful. And so I'm going to pray this scripture over us as a body today. All right? So Heavenly Father, I come to You and I know You're God. And You're the God of hope. And I pray that may the God of hope awaken that within me so that I can know the purpose and the plan that You have for me. God, I praise You because You are hopeful that I will tell others, that I will go out because You're the God of hope. You're the God who made the plan. You're the God who set forth into motion a plan that would save mankind from their sin. And God, I pray may You not only give me the hope, but that You'll fill me with peace. You'll fill me with joy as I trust in You. Lord, I don't have to understand everything, but I trust You. I trust the circumstances. We know when little Ellie's to be born that we trust Your timing. I trust Your timing of my dear brother who went to heaven this past week. I trust You. So I live in joy. I walk in peace. Lord, help us as a congregation to do that. Lord, to not be swayed by the circumstances or situations in our lives, But Lord, because we trust in you, we have peace and joy. Lord, I pray this so that as we walk, others can see the overflow of hope in our lives. Lord, that somehow they can see that we super abound, not because we are perfect, but because of the hope that's within us. And I ask that the Holy Spirit will be the guide. I do not want to stir this up myself, but I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead each and every one of us. That, Lord, somehow the Holy Spirit would remind us to keep joy on our face. Lord, that you, the Holy Spirit, would have the opportunity to use us to speak into other people's lives. May the God of hope use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, you just take scripture and you pray it, because that's powerful. Amen? Church, I want you to be blessed, but I want you to abound. I want you to know the hope that's within you, because others need to know that hope. Next week, please, please mark it on your calendars. I'm really asking you, the church, please be here over these next few weeks. It is foundational. If you're new to our congregation, I'm telling you, you are coming in at a foundation time. If you've been here for ages, it's time to relay the foundation. It's time to shore it up, because we have a hope. We have the hope. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, be with your people this week and help us abound and overflow. Amen. Have a Jesus-filled week. This morning, as pastors, we'll be here. We'll pray for you if you have a need. God bless you, and have a Jesus-filled week.